The following content is intended for people who are blind or print impaired.
Engage.
You are listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm Chris Skidmore, and this is Tech Tips. Spring is right around the corner, and here's what's coming up on this month's episode of Tech Tips. Hadley has a new Braille learning series designed for older adults. A new retinal implant designed for people with age-related macular degeneration is being tested. We'll look at the accessibility of the Hulu streaming app. And finally, Ira may be coming to an airport near you in the not-so-distant future. That's what's coming up on this month's episode of Tech Tips. This article is about a new series of workshops from Hadley designed to teach older adults who have recently lost their vision Braille. The article is entitled, Hadley's New Braille Workshops. It's written by Steve Kelly, and it comes to us from Access World magazine. The first of Hadley's new tactile Braille workshops has just launched, and it's going to make teaching and learning Braille a lot more engaging for the older adult. Like Hadley's other workshops, they are available at no cost to registered learners. Registration is free and can be done online at hadley.edu or by calling Hadley's help desk at 1-800-323-4238. In a recent conversation with Kim Walker from Hadley's research and development team, she outlined the newest Braille workshops from Hadley, which will be available within the first quarter of 2022. Currently, the first of these workshops is available. Nearly 2 years of research and testing went into the design of these new tactile Braille workshops. Walker explained that after looking at the data, it was clear that only 15% of the learners who started the traditional Hadley Braille courses delivered in the mail on Daisy Talking Book cartridges and Braille booklets actually finished them. To understand this better, they turned to the very same older adult learners who chose not to finish the courses to find out why and what needed to be improved to make the new tactile Braille workshops more engaging for learners. Walker explained that learners reported difficulty with deadlines, challenges with the audio player, and some even reported being overwhelmed with the contents in the box when they first received the former Braille Literacy 1 course from Hadley. We heard all kinds of things, Walker explained, but the one word we kept hearing was overwhelmed. Their research also discovered that 80% of those adults taking the Braille course had remaining vision, and some reported they were reading the Braille visually. So we thought, what if we do a dual media, both large print and Braille? But we kept in mind that we're going to have people with no vision. The team ultimately developed a workshop series delivered online in a series of videos or by telephone as audio, with workbooks accompanying each series. The first series of workshops that is currently available is Letters of the Alphabet. This will be followed by Numbers and Punctuation, and finally Contracted Braille. Workshops will follow a similar format, and a great deal of emphasis was placed on the tone and language of the audio as the workshops were developed. Sometimes, what we take for granted is the voice itself. Kim remarked about the audio delivery for the workshops. Learners reported finding the voice and tone both encouraging and supportive. One learner remarked, "This is the most effective method I've found for learning Braille." In the other book, no one was saying, "We'll get through this together." This is a reference to the use of inclusive language and "we" used throughout the workshops. Walker continued, "We found out that language was huge. That feeling was attached with language. The tone is really important. We don't want to be talked to like a child. They felt like we weren't telling them what they had to do. We were with them, guiding them through it." Audio delivery. Like Hadley's existing Braille workshop series, Basic Braille by Sight Reading, and basic Braille by sight writing, the new workshops will be available on the website as a series of videos. The video immediately refers learners to the dual media workbook sent out after registering for the workshop. Workbooks will contain both large print and Braille. Adley will introduce a new feature with the Tactile Braille series. Learners will be able to access the workshops using their phone, and a smartphone is not required. This is not an app, so a landline may be used. Menu options are selected using the number pad, like choosing the desired workshop, to replay a workshop, or to get the next one. In addition, during business hours, a user can press 0 to connect with one of the Braille learning experts if there are questions about the workshop material. Workshops are composed of slides, which correspond to a page in the workbook. Learners are prompted to go to the next page when slides are completed. Whether navigating by phone or web, learners may repeat a slide, move to the next or previous slides, and pause recordings as needed. The Dual Media Workbook. The new workbooks were literally designed from the ground up, based on comments from learners and pilot tests. It was designed to be simple and feel safe for learners, Walker explained. We know as professionals there are times when you will use your remaining vision, and times when you will not. This really gives the person a choice. Teaching that skill and pairing it with something known, like the print alphabet, seems to work. There's a lot of research on paired association and how that would work. What we're seeing with the pilot testing is that it worked. All the workbooks up to uncontracted Braille will have the same familiar layout. In the top left corner of the page will be Braille. Beneath it, a large print illustration of the Braille cells being covered. About halfway down the page, a distinctive tactile line across the width of the page, and below this, several lines of tactile Braille examples. Some people might look at the Braille in the large cell, but our entire goal is to teach these learners to be tactile learners. But we had to do this in a very safe way, Kim explained. Inside the front cover of each workbook in a large print is the phone number to use to access the Braille workshop on the phone, and the web address for those wanting to watch the workshops online. Each page of the workshop corresponds with a slide on the video or audio. Each workbook also contains a set of stickers that corresponds with the letters in the workshop. For example, in the workshop for letters A through C, there are several Braille stickers included for each of the three letters. Learners are encouraged to try labeling various items around the house. Walker explained that pilot testers were eager to learn letters right away, and using the stickers is a practical way to reinforce this. She also reported that the final draft of the workbooks was well received by pilot testers. One tester exclaimed, "Wow, this is for me? I've actually opened something I can read right away. When things come to me, I often feel excluded. This makes me feel like I'm included, like they thought of me." Series overview. The first series available is the Braille for Everyday Use series for letters. This series contains a total of 8 workshops, each with an accompanying workbook. As learners progress through the series, subsequent workbooks will be mailed out to them. After the second workshop, learners interested in creating their own stickers in Braille can request a slate and stylus. Following completing the 7th workshop, which includes a simulation of pillbox using Braille labels, learners will receive their own pillbox. For those who continue on to the next series on numbers, a Braille labeler will be sent after completing the series. There is no charge to the learners for these items. Walker explained that the dual media workbook design will not be used in the contracted Braille series. "We feel by the time the person commits to that, they have enough under their belt that they've become a pretty good tactile reader. Same format, same booklet. We kept that middle line in for quite a while." Another feature planned for the series is the opportunity for synchronous learning in groups. "We heard people saying, sometimes you just want to talk to someone else learning Braille," Walker said. "As this develops," she explained, "the hope is that synchronous learning groups will develop. For example, All those working on certain workshops may have the opportunity to join in with a group of learners also working on the same workshops. This group learning may look similar to Hadley's current monthly discussion groups, in which participants are actively engaged in sharing tips and information with one another. Final thoughts. The research on design and development and the responses from pilot testers has Walker and the Hadley staff eager for this latest series of the growing list of over 500 workshops. At a time when face-to-face Braille training with local and state agencies may be less available, this series may quickly become a useful tool for professionals in the field as well. I was thinking about the TVI, or Teachers for Visually Impaired, and the rehab counselor, Walker said. They've got pretty much big caseloads. How wonderful if you had this instruction and you're the facilitator. You can get your person started because it is designed for them to be very independent. Walker was clear, however, that this new tactile Braille series was designed specifically for the adult learner and that it would require additional literacy elements for younger students. Walker ended the interview sharing the story of one pilot tester, who she hopes is an indicator of the reception Braille for everyday use will have with the adult learners. This individual reported at the onset of the pilot testing that she had no interest in learning Braille. She didn't feel she needed it because she had some remaining vision. After agreeing to the pilot test workshop on letters A through C, she said, "You know, I'm left with the feeling that I'm excited to learn more. I didn't feel I needed this, but this is a good time to learn this. I am very positive this is something I do need, want, and can learn. Even with low vision, you can use this. This would be a great asset to me. I was fighting learning Braille, but it really is for everyone." You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. Here's a story about a groundbreaking device that offers restoration of sight to people with vision loss due to dry AMD. This comes to us courtesy of CoolBlind Tech. In a study, doctors from Moorsfield Eye Hospital successfully implanted a microchip in a woman's retina, restoring some vision to her blind eye. After having normal vision for most of her life, the 88-year-old suffered from dry, age-related macular degeneration, causing her to lose sight in one eye. The study hopes to show that the implant can partially restore eyesight to people who suffer from geographic atrophy, a disease that currently has no cure. Geographic atrophy is an advanced type of age-related macular degeneration, or AMD, in which retina cells waste away, resulting in a blind spot. Surgeons from Moorfields Eye Hospital implanted the 2-millimeter-wide microchip, which was developed by Pixium Vision in France, under the patient's retina. The chip is a communication liaison between customized video glasses linked to a computer the patient wears like a fanny pack. The camera in the glasses captures visual data, then sends it to a computer. The computer processes the video using artificial intelligence, then relays instructions back to the glasses, telling them where to focus. After the camera focuses on a primary object, they send visual data projected as an infrared beam back through the eye to the chip, reports Science Focus. At that point, the chip translates it to an electrical signal that travels to the patient's brain via the retina cells. The brain learns to interpret this electrical signal, allowing the patient to see. The microchip isn't effective immediately. It takes up to 6 weeks in a post-surgery rehabilitation process before the patient can learn to use their newfound vision. The implant is being tested in clinical trials in Europe, but this is the first patient to receive it. Tech Tips is on the North Carolina Reading Service. During this installment of video streaming services, we'll be taking a look at the accessibility of Hulu. This comes to us courtesy of Access World magazine, and it is written by Janet Ingber. Hulu, launched in 2008, is one of the older streaming services. When it started, the site was not accessible, and I remember the frustration of trying to use it. Fortunately, accessibility has improved over the years. Hulu began adding audio description in 2019. It has many TV shows and movies for people of all ages. It has some original content such as The Handmaid's Tale, Little Fires Everywhere, and The United States vs. Billie Holiday. The Hulu website is clearly labeled. You can watch Hulu via an app on your device or through the website. Getting help. Hulu's website does not provide information about how to get phone support. A Google search produced the phone number 1-888-265-6650. There is a help heading on the homepage. Choices there include account and billing, plans and pricing, and accessibility. The accessibility link has information on audio description, screen readers, keyboard commands, and voice commands. According to the website, Hulu works with VoiceOver, JAWS, TalkBack, Audio Guide, and VoiceView. All major browsers are supported on the Hulu website: Chrome, Firefox, Safari, and Edge. Hulu supports many devices, including iOS phones and tablets running iOS 12 or later, and Android phones and tablets, most running Android 5.0 or above, with a screen size of at least 800 by 480 pixels. I will be describing how to use Hulu on an iOS device. If you have any other device, I highly recommend Judy Dixon's book, Audio Description: What It Is, Where to Find It, and How to Use It. The book is published by National Braille Press and provides information on several streaming services, including Hulu. Before you get started, you likely will want to review the various plans available for the service. Hulu's homepage contains a great deal of information. The two fastest ways to navigate the page are by form controls or using the up and down arrow keys. There are links and headings, but not many. There is information about free trials on the Hulu homepage. Select the plan you want and follow the prompts to sign up. The sign-up form is labeled and asks for the standard information. If you explore the edit boxes without entering text, VoiceOver will say invalid data. The message goes away once you enter text into the edit box. If you are asked to check an edit box to prove you are not a robot, you will then need to use an audio CAPTCHA. The CAPTCHA audio is relatively clear compared to some other websites. Hulu with iOS devices. Hulu's page elements are clearly labeled. As you navigate the pages, you will hear VoiceOver frequently use the word button. However, the Forms option is not available in the VoiceOver rotor. Profiles. User profiles allow Hulu the ability to recommend content for you based on your interests. The profile will appear on all devices for your account. I created my profile on an iPhone X. On the iPhone, open the Hulu app. At the bottom right of the home screen is a profile tab. Select this tab. Flick down to add a new profile and select it. Be aware that while creating your profile, you may need to flick backwards to get all of the controls. The first edit box is for entering a name. Next is a switch to watch only kid-friendly programs. By default, it is not activated. Finally, there are picker items to select your birth date. Next, select the Done button in the lower right corner. This will bring you back to the main profile screen. The next control is an edit box for gender. At the very bottom of the screen is an option to use a picker to enter gender. Above the picker is a Done button. Select it. Finally, select the Create Profile button at the bottom left of the screen. Once the profile is created, a new screen loads with a Choose Interests button. Selecting it brings up a list of possible interests where you are asked to select three or more from. Each category has examples. VoiceOver does give instructions on how to add interests. On the next screen, you are asked to choose five or more movies and shows. At the bottom of the screen is a Finish button. Working with the Hulu app. There are four tabs at the bottom of Hulu's home screen: Home, My Stuff, Search, and Profile. At the top of the screen are several buttons, including All, TV, Movies, and Hubs. The All button will bring up a list of movies and TV shows it is featuring or make suggestions based on your profile. There is also a Keep Watching and a For You heading within this screen. The Keep Watching function has content you have started watching, and the For You section has recommendations. The TV and movie buttons bring up a list of categories from which to choose. Once a category is selected, a list of movies or TV shows will be displayed. The final selection option is Hubs. There are several options including Kids, Entertainment, News, and Audio Description. Directly under the heading is a button labeled View More Audio Description. Below that button is a list of programs. Select the View More Audio Description button to check out more audio described content. While going through the results in any category, you will frequently encounter a View More Options button. Selecting it brings up a screen where you can like, dislike, add to My Stuff, or share. My Stuff. This is where content you want to watch in the future can be kept. At the top of the screen are several sorting buttons. They are TV shows, movies, expiring, and network. In the More Options section for this tab, you can remove unwanted items. Search. This section has an edit box for entering your query. Results are below the edit box. There are two additional buttons, trending searches and recent searches. Selecting either of these buttons bring up a list of content that meets the selection criteria. Profile. At the top of the profile tab is a list of all profiles for the Hulu content. Select the one you want. There are additional categories below the profiles, including autoplay and settings. Next is a button to open the Help Center. Activating audio description. Once audio description is activated on your device, you should not need to reactivate it. If you have additional devices linked to your profile, audio description should synchronize with your other devices. Begin the process of activating audio description by playing a TV show or movie. Next, go to the top of the screen and select Player. VoiceOver will tell you double tap to toggle controls. Double tap and VoiceOver says controls shown. Next, flick right until you reach settings. Select this option. The first heading is audio. Flick right until you hear English audio description. Select it. Go to the left top corner and dismiss the options menu. Player controls are passed to the settings option. The player must be opened to display them. Finding more audio description. The American Council of the Blind's Audio Description Project is an excellent resource for finding described content. There are many ways to search their database. There is a link on the homepage for Hulu. In conclusion, Hulu's audio accessibility has improved significantly since its initial release. There are many subscription options starting at $5.99 per month. The iOS app's screens contain a lot of information, but they are not cluttered. I recommend getting a free trial before purchasing a subscription. As a quick footnote to this story when it comes to subscriptions, you can now bundle Hulu with Disney Plus and ESPN Plus if that is something that might interest you. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. Back, we discussed a new type of technology called IRA that used a pair of glasses, your cell phone, and a volunteer to help visually impaired people like us get around unfamiliar spaces. As the product has continued to evolve, it is now making it possible for visually impaired people to travel and to do more with the assistance of someone over their cell phone using these glasses. Well, IRA has expanded again. This article is entitled, Edmonton Airport Adds Accessibility Services for Passengers. This comes to us courtesy of Cool Blind Tech. Edmonton International Airport, EIA, has teamed up with AIRA, an online service that provides live, real-time assistance to people with visual impairments. EIA is now part of the AIRA Airport Network and a designated facility within the AIRA online app for users. When a passenger who is visually impaired arrives at EIA, they can use this app to call up a live agent who will guide them through the airport by using the camera and a smartphone. The agent can assist in reading information for passengers as well as navigation through the airport and even support safety by encouraging physical distancing from other people where possible. The agent and AIRA now have detailed information and maps of EIA, including the ability to determine where a user is inside the airport to help guide them. According to the Canadian Council of the Blind and results in its 2021 report, there are approximately 124,000 Albertans who have mild to severe vision loss. Steve Mabee, Vice President of Operations and Infrastructure at the Edmonton International Airport, said, "Air travel is a necessity, not a luxury in our community, and using technology to support travel for everyone is something we're committed to. With AIRA, from curb to gate, our travelers who have visual impairments can now have a memorable airport experience, confidently and independently. We're glad to partner with AIRA and have this service available. We are honored to work with EIA to help connect more people to our service, but more importantly, to help make travel more accessible and inclusive to the broadest population." Troy Otillo, CEO of AIRA. "Our goal is to help more people live, work, learn, and enjoy their lives more fully by giving them access to the visual information they need and deserve." EIA has several initiatives to support accessibility at the airport. This includes the Autism Aviators Program to help passengers who have autism as well as parents or caregivers. EIA has an on-demand curbside assistance program and in 2020 converted a washroom into a pet relief station designed for service animals. EIA is working towards a visual paging system for passengers with hearing difficulties, and services are available within airlines for passengers who need mobility assistance. Passengers using the AIRA service will still be required to follow all safety and security measures while at EIA, including submitting their smartphones for security screening. EIA will work with its tenants and shareholders to help educate them about the AIRA service and how it works. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Tech Tips. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Tech Tips is available online at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.